grace and peace to my Pal Squawk family. Last Friday, a 77-year-old gentleman named Bo Schembechler died. He'd exercised great influence in the lives of a large number of young people and continued that influence with many of them as they grew older. He demonstrated faithfulness to his vocation, coaching at Michigan for 20 years. He was well known for success in what he did, and he was so respected that many of his opponents later became his friends, and he was mourned in his passing. Someday you and I will be absent from our temporary fleshly bodies and present with the Lord. What will people say about us? What will have been our impact upon others? Obituaries and commentaries about Bo Schembechler have enjoyed prominence in both sports and news media. And he even was honored with a moment of silence at the Ohio-Michigan football game on Saturday. We won't receive that type of earthly attention, acclaim, or adulation either in life or when we graduate to glory. And we shouldn't expect it. But our lives, our dedication to our unashamed workmanship will be just as closely scrutinized as was Mr. Schembechler's, but not down here. Our review will occur in heavenly places. Like Bo, we may have had influence in the lives of others, but the issues will not be yards gained, touchdowns made, or championships won, but rather souls saved and saints edified and equipped to live as who God has made them to be in Christ Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead. So let's realize that we are formulating our own spiritual obituaries with each minute we choose to be redeeming the time or not. With our focus upon the only review of our lives that has any consequence or value, the judgment seat of Christ.
Thank you, my dear, and thank all of you for being here this evening as we continue our verse-by-verse study of the book of Romans. We will pick up this evening in verse 16 of chapter number 1. Allow me to apologize to those of you who did not receive the outline this evening. I don't know why that happened, that some of you got it and some of you didn't. The outline goes out to way more than 100 people. I send it in batches of 30. And so 30 of you would get it, and apparently 30 or 60 or 90 or some such number did not. I do apologize, and I'll try not to make that mistake again. Just to give you a heads up, I know this is a holiday week, but Carol and I leave very boring lives. We don't do anything. We don't go anyplace. And so I will be here Friday night teaching. And if you have a mind to, join me then this evening, Friday evening at 7 o'clock, as we will have our usual Romans verse-by-verse Bible study. And I will try to do a better job this coming Friday of getting the notes to you. I sent the notes out Sunday night, so they had plenty of time for them to get to you. Okay, now let's get busy. In the book of Romans, we went through already the salutation, which ran for 7 verses. Then we saw something of an identification in verses 8 through 15. And now we come to a verse that is a verse very often memorized, a verse very often familiar to most everybody. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, the fact that Paul is not ashamed is something that Pastor Stamm, in his commentary on Romans, jumps to what I think is kind of a silly conclusion. He says Paul's proud of it. Well, I don't know that it's a matter of pride versus shame. I think it's a matter of being a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so I think the issue of shame here in Romans 1:16 is not to be the antithetical to pride, but rather I think it has to do with 2 Timothy 2:15. He need not to be ashamed because what he is presenting is that which is right. Now, you know, as I prepare these lessons, I checked, half a dozen different commentaries and what people say on the book of Romans, and sometimes I bring them up as I just did there. Generally, you and I, we need to disregard most every other commentary that is out there because they just don't have anything worth reading. And that's just something that you'll get used to over time. I've said to so many of you, and so many of you look at me a little strangely, that one of the things you are going to have to do is you are going to have to develop your own notes, your own cross-references in your Bible. You cannot trust the notes, you cannot trust the cross-references that are in published works, because, generally speaking, they are not just undispensational, many of them are anti-dispensational, particularly, for example, in the Thompson chain, or in the so-called Full Gospel Study Bible of Finus Jennings Dake. Now, is the sound back? I've had two phone calls here, and is the sound back? Okay. Somebody's messed with me.
No new messages.
I'm locked up. All right, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? As the guy says in that ad, I get tired of seeing. Okay, you can hear me now. It's something going on here. It's not your fault, and I doubt that it's Pal Talk's fault. But I kept the phone here kept ringing and sending messages to my recorder, and I'm just guessing that had some effect on it, because it would be a bit much for it to be a coincidence. All right, I'm going to... Carol will be upset if I remove her part of the message, but I really don't want all this junk in between either. Maybe I should start the recording over. What do you